Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 25, episode 2 of Dare Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For April 3rd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's me, Miles Gray, a.k.a. Chain Miles Gration, a.k.a. Daka Khan. Greetings to everybody on this wonderful Tuesday.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and performer, Ever Maynard.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
What's up?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Okay, well, I was like, what can I share? And honestly, it's just all Google searches of me. You know what I mean? Like, what's the news? No news.
You just go, Ever Maynard hot?
Yeah. Question mark, Ever Maynard feet?
And then Ever Maynard, H-A-W-T? Hmm. Let's try all the spelling.
I actually have been Google searching a lot of different animals for a writing thing, and I got really obsessed with rattlesnakes.
Ooh.
So all of my, like, search histories right now are rattlesnakes and Army Navy surplus stores online.
So
I get bored.
Are they connected?
No, I thought I need a new backpack, and then I wanted to learn more about rattlesnakes because I'm from a small town in Texas, and like, now is when they're like starting to like, what's up? Come out.
The rattlesnakes come out.
Yeah, they're like,
little,
ooh,
you're not
saying
ever
action.
Doing a nice little neck shimmy here.
Yeah, they're like, ready to kill.
Hello. Yeah.
Wait, so where are you from in Texas?
I'm from a town called Little River.
Okay.
Little River Academy. We're from the Academy side, but it's two tiny towns put together.
Gotcha.
So we can have like a school district.
What's the closest big city?
I guess the closest big city, if you know it, is Temple. It's right off of I-35. but if you don't know that, it would be, we're in between Waco and Austin.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard of Waco. Austin? No, not so much.
Yeah.
No.
Austin is on the
Austin's just a cool name for a young man.
That's my cousin's name. Shout out to Austin.
Shout out.
Is there anything cool about rattlesnakes we should know that you learned?
Like, what's a cool
drop? Can you drop some science on us?
If they weren't, like, the devil's spawn enough.
Okay.
They, the mother snakes, most snakes just like lay eggs and then they hatch.
Uh-huh.
And when female snakes get pregnant, they keep their eggs in them and then they give live birth to baby rattlesnakes.
Oh, shit.
And I'm terrified of rattlesnakes. So that idea is just like,
wait, so they give live birth?
Like, instead of just hatching and
so
like,
they just hatch internally and then they're
like,
wow. Do you know how many snakes can come out?
I stopped reading at that point. Yeah.
Because in my mind, it's like 1,000.
Well, then I found on YouTube. So
Okay, thank you. Perfect. This is what I wanted to know.
So now they do like have dens, like rattlesnake dens. And this dude put a GoPro on a hockey stick and walked out to this field. And all of a sudden, you just hear this like insane, like, and you're like, what is that? And then he gets to it. And like this, he's holding this hockey stick over this like pit viper nest. And they're just like lunging at the camera.
Are they just in like a hole?
No, it's just, it's kind of like a pit. It's kind of like there's like a drop off. Like, looks like somebody dug a hole and then.
Right.
And like I'm done digging. Jack, like, left for the day.
Jack is not familiar with the concept of a pit.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So it's like just, you know, so like a big hole, big man-made hole.
All right.
A ground hole.
Mm-hmm. They spawn like that and they hang out.
Oh God. And I love that that guy was like, "Hey, finally got used for this old hockey stick."
Right.
Take that fucking pit viper.
Yeah. This doesn't seem dangerous at all. But,
rattlesnakes are at least polite. They have like a
they let
you know. Yeah. They're just like, "Yeah, you're about to die."
Well, okay.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
Wait a second. Now they're evolving where they either don't have rattles or they won't rattle because it's a survival instinct. Because when they rattle, then they get killed.
Yeah.
Right?
But that's to have been the case. When, like, it's not like we just developed ears. Like, they've.
Well, now they're getting smarter.
Right. Or maybe
or
they were
we're getting
like,
more hockey sticks.
Right.
That's
just
true. Beating the shit out of them.
It's like,
fucking rattlesnake.
What is it? Casey from like the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, exactly. Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Get these snakes out of here.
Fucking snakes.
Get them out.
Ever, what's something you think is underrated?
I think underrated hot dogs.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think hot dogs are a little underrated. Mainly like, I don't know if you call them dirty dogs out here, but like the street vendor hot
danger
dogs.
Danger dogs? Yeah, yeah.
Danger dogs are totally.
Second day in a row we brought up danger dogs.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
It is. Okay, so you're on to something.
I think that danger dogs are underrated, number one, because when you're out and you're drunk and you're hungry and it's there, it's always good.
Yeah.
I've never had a bad danger dog. I've actually dropped a danger dog in downtown LA, picked it up and ate it.
Oh, you legend. Wait. Do you have mutant powers?
Now, yeah. Was it wrapped in paper?
No.
And was it wrapped in a bun?
No,
you dropped the naked hot dog on the ground.
It's not my proudest moment.
Oh my!
Did you wipe it off?
I was drunk. No, I
blew it off to.
Right.
Okay, I just ate it and then.
I guess it's just like gravel. It was on the street.
It's just like gravel and human urine.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
That's why my immunity is so strong.
Very strong constitution.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's hear the overrated.
Okay, number one overrated thing is Trader Joe's. I'm not a Trader Joe fan. Their parking lot, it's aggressive.
I know which one you're talking about. The one in Silver Lake?
Yes, but every single...
this is funny because every person on the show who has a gripe about Trader Joe's, it's always stemmed from the Trader Joe's in Silver Lake. But not to say that I also don't fuck with Trader Joe's because of the parking lot and there's too many people. But go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the parking lot in Burbank. And then when I lived in Chicago, all the Trader Joe's had tiny parking lots there. And then it feels so cramped and it's like organized in an unorganized way. And then everyone's like, and I'm just like, get out of my fucking way.
What's the one in Manhattan that's like in a basement and basically to shop in it, you just get in line before shopping and you just pick up the shit you need on the way because it's so packed in there that the only way to shop is to do it while you're in line to check out.
Too much.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, I can't handle it. I don't think their fruit is that good and their flowers don't smell good.
The disorganization thing is interesting.
Shots fired, Trader Joe's.
Hold on. Jack, we might have to edit that out.
I actually agree.
I'm not going to back down.
I'm with you.
Oh, shit.
And,
getting hot here.
They have good frozen treats. Like, they have good, like, frozen things to kind of stow away.
In their
like,
freezer case?
Frozen apps. Yeah. But, like, in terms of their fresh stuff, it's not very fresh. And I agree, the organization is just all over the place. I've read a bunch of stuff on how grocery stores are organized, and it's very meticulous. And you'll notice that most of the time you enter through the produce, and then, like, towards all the way to the back is milk. And, like, they're designed so that you circulate in a very specific direction because they know that like 9 humans out of 10 prefer to circulate
in
right,
a certain
like,
way.
Like it's basically counterclockwise. We prefer counterclockwise. But then Whole Foods started doing it the opposite way to like prove that they were like new and hip.
Uh-huh.
And like, but then Trader Joe's is just a fucking.
It's chaos.
It's just chaos in there. They just like put it anywhere. Like you have to learn it all by yourself. It's
sometimes
crazy.
You got cheese over here, but then you got another cheese over there.
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and they're like, where's your aloe juice? They're like, next to the flowers. And like, it's not with the other juices.
Right.
No.
Good point, Joe.
Yeah.
I feel like, isn't Trader Joe's owned by the same people that own Aldi? Have you guys heard
about
this?
German
yeah,
company,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering if they did some like fucked up. Now, this could be a deep conspiracy that I am happy to start.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
Human experimentation?
Myth bust this.
Okay. Here we go. Let's do it.
Really, I want to Reddit.
I'm putting my thinking cap on.
Okay.
I'm tying it on.
Okay. So, in World War II, like Hitler's Germany.
Oh, gosh.
Oh shit.
We're going deep, baby.
Yo, play that conspiracy theory music.
Okay. Play it right now. Play it loud. Hitler took the resonance from the A string. Which, like, for a long, long time used to be, I think, 430. I'll have to look it up. But he changed it because it fucks, when we hear it, it fucks up our mind a little. It's like the original, like, A string is, like, the same hertz as the universe. And, like, all of the classic composers use this type of hertz. And then Hitler got it and he changed it. And he realized that it made the mind kind of disobey and, like, fight against it, and I'm wondering if the same people who started Trader Joe's did some shit like this.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so you're saying Hitler discovered that if you play like an A, like the note,
You change the hertz, if you change the frequency on it, and it's a subtle thing, but then it starts like what is the word I'm looking for? Human
dissonance?
Dissonance, maybe that's it. But it starts us to go down like a negative path.
It says, okay, wait, this article is about the legendary music frequency of 432 hertz, which supposedly resonates with the universe and all living things, but in a scientific way. Wait, so where does Hitler come in?
So he changed it. Like, it's like a subversive thing.
All right.
Anyways, we're going too far down.
We're going too deep down this rabbit hole. But...
Thank you for getting us back on track.
All right.
Oh, well, it's interesting. Okay, so they said that they switched it from 432 hertz to 440 hertz mm-hmm. with the intention of making people feel bad.
Yeah.
By making people feel in a certain way, the Nazi state would turn them into prisoners of a cheerless mindset,
yes.
cursing them to live a morbid life of sad consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay. Which,
Trader Joe's, baby. I'm never happy in that store.
I've talked before on this show about this study that basically explained ghosts and hauntings by a type of sound called infrasound. That's basically, it's like the opposite of a dog whistle. It's like too low for the human ear to hear, but it vibrates at such a frequency that you immediately feel dread. And sometimes it vibrates in a way that your eye starts seeing figures like off to the side.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's not going to be the first time I've said this on this show. I think Hitler was on to something.
Oh,
okay. HR is going to stop you right there.
Okay. What else is overrated?
I think... the BuzzFeed Facebook YouTube tutorials of like how to like when they do like cheap crafts and you're like, this is a life hack. I hate all life hack videos.
Yeah,
like
fuck life hacks.
Let me learn it myself.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And wear your hoodie backwards, fill it with popcorn and just eat face first. Ooh. Like it's a feeding bag.
was that a dumbass life hack that
BuzzFeed suggested at one point? It
a
was like
popcorn
on one of their,
trough out of your hoodie?
Out of your hoodie,
Get the fuck
and just like showed
here.
Somebody at a movie theater with a hoodie filled with popcorn.
Right.
Like,
alone.
Just like,
did they show him
because
going,
you know
that person
how you
going
hate
home and dying
to
alone?
Use your hands when you're eating popcorn? Like now you can just dip your face into the buttery, greasy popcorn.
I love the grease, I love having a greasy face.
Yeah, I like getting it all over my face.
Feeling bad about myself.
Yeah, it's great because afterwards, You put the hood on and it naturally moisturizes your head with all the residual grease.
Such
from the
a good idea. What a life hack.
Yeah.
All right. What's a myth? What's something that you know to be false that most people think is true?
Okay. So in our hometown, I was thinking about myths and like whatever it is. In the back of our elementary school, and this is like a really tiny town. I think there's like 1,200 people now, but it was like smaller back in the day. So,
oh, wow.
And it's really out in the middle of nowhere. It's not like there's a big city outside of a big city.
Right.
There used to be this field, and it had like a grove of trees actually right next to the little river.
Okay.
And at like recess and like school, you could just kind of like run around and like play in these fields. But then our teachers was like, don't go back there. That's where the goat man lives.
Uh-huh.
And like that became this huge like local myth and like legend like growing up that there was like this evil goat man.
Mm-hmm.
And by goat man, we mean like a humanoid.
Half goat, like a demon.
Disgusting.
So everybody was like always afraid. And some I lived down the street from the school. So like I used to play there like after school and at night. You know? And then I would be like, the goat man's watching.
Oh, shit.
But in hindsight, I think it was just a man doing meth, you know?
Right. Was there some physical presence?
There was always like there's a shed back there.
Oh,
and there's a lot of meth.
So maybe your teacher was just kindly trying to keep you away from someone who might be struggling with drug abuse and not put the children at risk. Hey, stay away from the goat, man. You know how he gets off his goat feed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's actually true. Like, goats are always, like, eating, like, just
anything.
Weird shit. And like,
is that true? Or is that, like, that's true, right?
No, that's true. Yeah,
they can eat, like,
they
a tin
eat
can.
Garbage.
Yeah.
And, like, meth
love
makes you want to, like, chew on everything. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I right.
Speaking from experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, put your chewing can down,
but,
Jack.
Like, a lot of the behavior that, like, meth users exhibit just is really creepy, like possessed, like haunted behavior, like walking around in circles and then like digging holes in the
well yeah I mean once
shit.
You enter like meth induced psychosis
it's really like a scene from a horror movie. So yeah, maybe all of our myths and like boogeymen growing up.
It sounded like you had an upbringing where they were talking about goat men too.
No,
I think every town's got
well, like
goat
we had windowless vans driving around,
ooh.
And like I mean, perfect place to bake meth.
We used to. My school was by a shopping mall, and sometimes like old people would just kind of hang by the perimeter to watch people practice sports. That was the weird thing.
Oh, like just Ray. People watching children.
Yeah, one
play.
Time. Okay, so one time there was a PE teacher we had, and we never knew what happened to him, Mr. Spector, and he vanished, and we didn't know what happened. Then one day, eighth grade before we graduated our homecoming game, he was homeless, and he was at the perimeter of the fence, like watching us play our homecoming game.
What happened
like,
to him?
He passed away like years later. It turned out it was
but
very
why
tragic.
Why was he homeless?
We don't know. Like I think he was struggling
away.
With alcoholism.
Oh, okay.
And like that's why he lost his job, and then ended up on the street. And it was crazy because at the time we're like, no one knows what happened to him. And then he showed up and we saw him through the thing. We're like, yo, is that Mr. Spector? So, yeah.
And then everyone is still like, we don't know what happened.
Yeah, I think to like make this more broadly applicable, I do think a lot of the times, like in spooky situations or like spooky disappearances or whatever. The spooky doos, man, they're the worst. I think a lot of the time it's like substance abuse. It was like, oh, he disappeared because he was, you know,
well, as a kid,
struggling with alcoholism.
That was
or
like
whatever.
The easy way to explain stuff to kids. It's like, oh, we don't know.
Yeah.
That's also, the world, guys.
Also, like, a lot of the, when you talk to police about, like, the craziest shit they've ever seen and stuff, it's stuff that when it's described to you, it's like, man, that's horrifying. Like, what a crazy, violent thing. But then they're like, no, they were just drunk. Like, they were really drunk people who made, like, terrible decisions. Or
I bet
were
I
on
could
drugs.
Do something like that.
Yeah.
Like, flip a car. If
drunk enough? Yeah.
Here we go.
Although, I've yet to see that video. Shame on those DARE officers that told us PCP gave you superhuman strength like that. Because I remember my fucking... Officer Charles said a guy threw a dumpster at him at Jack in the Box.
What?
Yeah.
And I was like, bruh, so tell me why I look on YouTube every fucking week looking for someone dusted just throwing a car or something like that. I've not seen anything of like, you know, because in DARE class, they would act like people got on like X-Men
DARE,
level strength.
I think DARE was secretly the PCP lobby because like they...
trying to glamorize PCP.
Trying to glamorize PCP.
Like,
let's lift, bro.
Yo, we got a game today.
They made all the stories they made up about other drugs were like, you know, smoking weed gives you boobs and like...
That's what they pushed. Years?
Yeah, that's what
they didn't
told
even
us.
Bother mind. They were like, smoking weed is cool, and we can't argue with that. But PCP, don't fuck around.
No, but then PCP gives you superpowers, was essentially the message that I heard.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, let's get into the stories of the day.
Great.
We're trying to take a look at what people are thinking and talking about today. And we did want to bring up something that happened over the weekend, which I think a lot of our hopes for. The upcoming elections were dashed, so to speak. What happened, Miles?
So, gosh, our great hope for a new future of America, a new vision of a more inclusive America, Stacey Dash from Clueless. She was running for California's 44th congressional district, and on Friday she announced that she will be actually withdrawing from the race because she didn't realize. How bad of a look it was for her, I guess.
Right.
So she was running in a district that like covers parts of like Compton, Watts, San Pedro, North Long Beach, and is a solidly Democratic area. And as we know, Miss Stacey Dash is a very problematic woman of color who basically, I don't know, she's definitely fully fucked up off the Fox News Kool-Aid. And, you know, she said stuff like, why do we need Black History Month? Like, why do we need BET? That's racist. Like, that's sort of like her ideological viewpoint.
Yeah.
Part of it was sort of like, oh, you know, I realized that this race would be a heavy burden on my family and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just a way to try and like rage quit without looking like you just realize it was an unwinnable thing and you didn't want to take L's repeatedly until November. So, you know, shout outs to you. You tried, but we know you were never going to win anyway. So I hope this gave you enough notoriety for whatever your real goal was, whether that was like to be like put yourself in the shop window to get back on TV or whatever, be a pundit. I don't know, but see ya later.
That's what Kid Rock did.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. These people who just think all you need is fame to succeed. You need fame and just like a crippling, weird personality disorder that just perfectly fits into our political and media landscape.
Yeah.
Like our president.
Yeah. The one quote that really sticks out, she's like, I believe that the overall bitterness surrounding our political process, participating in the rigors of campaigning and holding elected office would be detrimental to the health and well-being of my family.
Yeah, she didn't write that.
Yeah, of course not. But what do you think? You trying to be a person of color and like a Trumpist in Long Beach, Watts?
Right.
Peter, that was always going to be tough. I don't know where you thought you were running and what platform you were on.
I feel bad saying she didn't write that, but she might have written that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I always
maybe.
Think that with these press releases, somebody else writes it. Anyway,
well, she's
sorry.
Definitely not this eloquent when she's like ripping down Obamacare and just saying like Obama is a whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she was big Obama basher.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of people underestimate the fact that Trump spent... So he had that ridiculous run for presidency in 2012, I think, where it didn't go anywhere. And then he went on his like birther shit. But he spent those intervening years just like nonstop ingesting talk radio. And
right.
like so that he had the crazy, you know, right wing ideas down to like his instincts. So he was like, you know, I think it's important to keep in mind that he is a badly damaged person, and that Obama speech where he, you know, made fun of him and dropped the mic, like, gave him just motivation. Like, he is just so hollow on the inside. Whereas all these other famous people, like Stacey Dash, Kid Rock, they're famous, and, like, they haven't had to work hard for, like, many years,
right.
I'm sure. They're just, like, sitting back.
I mean, Kid Rock grew up, like, upper middle class.
Right.
He?
What?
Yeah.
Kid Rock?
Yeah, that's, like, the big myth about
tennis
him.
My kid? Okay, yeah. Now, why didn't you guys bring this up? You're the myth.
Right.
Kid Rock had a tennis court?
Yeah,
this
tennis courts and a
this
pool.
Podcast is
and
over.
Stacey Dash is not struggling. She's looked like she's 22 for 70 years now.
Right. I think generally the response to fame is that you stop developing as a human being at that point, and you just, like, this is why I think so many celebrities don't know how technology works, because they just have assistants who answer all their emails for them and stuff. But Trump, because of his just horrible sucking wound where his soul should be, you know, was nonstop staying up all night ingesting talk radio and Fox News and everything, just with a single-mindedness of purpose of, I'm going to run for president.
Yeah,
and
while y'all were out partying, I was in the lab putting
in
work.
Exactly.
Because, I was studying this right-wing bullshit.
Yeah.
He's got Eminem blaring.
Exactly. He got a gray hoodie on his shit.
Yeah. Right.
Speed reading Mein Kampf, like, ah, I can't even read.
The dissonance. Yeah.
But don't underestimate how damaged he is. Yeah.
Change that hertz from 432 to 440 beats. Trying to get triggered.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and we were just talking about comparative burger chains.
Yeah, because Texas, obviously, everyone has Whataburger pride.
Whataburger. Ever rides for Whataburger.
Water.
Whataburger.
I remember the first time I heard it, was like, is it water?
Whataburger.
Yeah. Made of water? Don't know.
Miles, you ride for In-N-Out, right?
I mean, In-N-Out is the best drive-through hamburger in L.A.
Yeah.
That's all.
Who is here is riding for BK?
Nobody anymore, man. Nobody anymore.
You see Nick Stump, he's in there with the crown on right now. He's like taking it off, like, oh, shit. He's like, well, you can't have it your way.
I think the one thing I will say is that fast food on the West Coast is just better. Like, if you go to a McDonald's on the East Coast versus a McDonald's on the West Coast, the burgers and, like, all the food is just better on the West Coast.
Really?
Like, yeah.
He would know. He's a drifter.
I am a drifter.
I love regional fast food. Like, I like Runza. They got that out in Nebraska, or, like, Lion's Choice. I've had
that
in Missouri.
How do you know all of this?
Because, you know, I get around and I...
I'm a drifter too.
I get the munchies very frequently, and I'm like, yo, what do you guys eat?
For no reason.
Yeah,
just
for no reason.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I just drift out there. And
get it.
But anyway.
Miles was a lobbyist.
I digest.
Miles has a dark period in his past.
There was a very dark period. Yes.
Sorry to hear that.
Political operative. All right, let's talk about the president's obsession of the day, du jour.
Who's du jour?
Oh.
That sounds
right,
good.
Right,
I think
right,
I'll
right.
have that.
Yes. So he seems to be obsessed with Jeff Bezos right now.
Oh,
we talked
yeah.
a little bit about him coming after Amazon instead of Facebook on last week's show.
Yep.
But yeah, what's going on here?
I mean, look, he has been having it out. Like, since Friday or Thursday, he was kind of making sense when he's like, we got to look into Amazon, man. Like, I think they're getting too powerful or whatever. And people were like, did he just, like, suddenly, mistakenly fall into, like, a good point here?
Right.
But then over time, like, it started getting crazier. Then he was talking about, like, you know, the post office is getting bamboozled by Amazon doing all these deliveries, et cetera, and it was just kind of a weird thing, like, since March 28th, because of all the Twitter bullshit, like, around $60 billion in market value has been lost for Amazon. And so when you look at it, yes, okay, if you take point by point, is Amazon getting pretty big? I think that's worth looking into and looking around and see. Maybe y'all got a lot going on and are probably we need to do something about that.
Yes.
Sure.
They probably need to be regulated.
Yeah. Valid point.
Regulator.
Mount up. And then so on to the next one. The post office. Okay. Are they really getting fucked? Well, that's not true. I mean, he's acting like they're running a deficit. Like, it's an actual profitable relationship because legally, like, I don't think the post office can make deals with companies unless it's a profit. They're going to enter a relationship with a company and then take a hit. So that's just an outright lie that the post office is, like, losing money. Like, it's a profitable thing. So when you take all of that in and you look around, you're kind of like, okay, what's going on? Because now Trump's like, well, how do we get Bezos? Like, there's been reporting about how he's, you know, asking people, his aides, like, how can I fuck with him and, like, fuck with his money? And if you think about it, you're like, wait a second. He owns the Washington Post. And
Jeff Bezos does?
Yeah,
wow.
That's probably
ding dong,
why
ding dong.
He wants to fuck with him, because the Washington Post has been doing very good reporting. They're not always flawless, but they've been pretty good. And they've been regularly handing the president L's, so I think that's why he's in his feelings now. And
they released
he's like,
the Access Hollywood tape.
Yeah, and he's also trying to be like, you know, like, well, I heard the Pentagon's doing a cloud computing deal with Amazon. How can we tank that? That's like a multi-billion-dollar deal. And again, this is just all because I think Trump has convinced himself that somehow Jeff Bezos is in the editorial offices.
He's deep state.
Yeah, man. Of the Washington Post being like, you know, run this story, just make this thing up. And, you know, the Post and Bezos have explicitly been like, yo, I have nothing to do with editorial decisions in there. Like, the one thing I weighed in on, I think, was like a tagline, like a slogan for the paper. But other than that, that's been it. And it's been such a weird tantrum that even like business people on Fox are like, Yo, cool out, B. Like, this is causing like massive fluctuations in the stock market just because.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't realize as president, you can say some spicy shit and it affects everybody's portfolio. And it's funny to hear people on Fox be like, I wouldn't name companies explicitly, but. So, you know.
Yeah, I think I heard Sean Hannity specifically say, yo, cool out, B.
Yeah.
On last night's episode. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, today's message to the president, right. Cool out, B.
The president is so. His policy is so determined by his whims, you know, like he struck
he's
down
ego-centered.
That.
He's ego-centered.
Right. He's ego-centered and he struck down that consolidation.
A merger, yeah.
Merger because it involved CNN. I mean, some people speculated it was maybe because of that. Now, you know, he hates Bezos for the Washington Post thing. Also, let's be honest, it's because he's the richest man in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Trump has always passed himself off.
Richest man in the history of the world.
Right. And Trump has always passed himself off. Like, that's his image. I'm the rich guy. I'm the richest guy in the world.
Not anymore.
He's the
Bezos.
Cartoon.
Bezos could fuck with him and be like, bro, I could buy you.
Yeah.
Opera, and do you want me to?
Right.
I can help you out. Well, the funny thing too was like Preet Bharara, he tweeted something and he's like, yo, what if Bezos just bought Twitter and fucking closed Trump's account to be petty? Because like Bezos could easily buy Twitter for nothing, you know, for being the richest man on earth. And it's just a funny point. It's like, yo, he could get real petty with you because he has like shmoney.
Do you think he like works or he's just like,
I'm sure to a certain point he did. And then I think, I imagine it's like a snowball effect, right? Like.
Yeah.
Oh, Bezos is probably.
What's he up to? Google image him.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't sleep at all and just stays up worrying about, you know, every last penny in his. I don't think you get to be that way while being mentally balanced.
I mean, these photos of him just looking jacked in like a down vest, like an aviator's on, like
yeah,
he's about to go fucking murder some kind of socialist. It's like, what do you mean don't fuck with capitalism?
I thought he for sure was a movie extra in that photo. I was like, who's this guy? And then I was like, oh, that's the owner of Amazon.
He looks like, what's homeboy's name? Who's doing the State Farm commercials? Bald
oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, he looks like like he's doing a version of J.K. Simmons swag. But yeah, so, you know, he's in his feelings. The richest man in the world owns a paper that regularly shames him. So, yeah, why not try and do all kinds of weird shit as president? Like, ask the post office to renegotiate deals with companies. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. And I mean, companies know that Trump is determined by, you know, whims and by, you know, his personal Ooh. Allegiances and how he's feeling at any given moment. Did you just discover something interesting about Jeff Bezos?
Couple of things.
He's a robot.
He's George Strait's cousin.
Really? Like second cousin or like first cousin?
I'm about to pop it up here. But they did lose $9.86 billion on regulation fears. But we got to do this because I also heard that George Strait was actually a marketing major or like
really
a PR guy.
The king of country, George
yeah,
Strait?
Yeah, and that's what
is
happened.
Is Jeff Bezos' cousin?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Maybe that's a myth.
It makes
we
a lot
busted.
Of sense when you're thinking about it. You know?
Yeah, right?
No, I have no idea.
I mean, in a way.
I actually don't know enough about George Strait to know.
Bezos spent 10 hot summers on his grandfather's cattle ranch in Cotulla, Texas. And his cousin is country singer George Strait.
Hot damn. Look at that.
So is Bezos, is he a Texan?
Well, his grandfather is.
Definitely doesn't have a Texan vibe.
He was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm.
He all seems right. like he's more from outer space.
Oh, he had a cameo in Star Trek, so he was from outer space. Peep that.
We should have busted that George Strait myth.
I know. Well, hey, look, this is something we might have to look into.
Ooh, yeah.
Just going back to the subject of the president's whims determining policy, I think companies are onto this, which is why people are speculating that that whole Sinclair thing we covered yesterday, the supercut everybody saw of all the different local news channels delivering the same message about fake news that was basically a beat-for-beat reconstruction of the president's talking points. People suspect that they are doing that because they are trying to purchase a bunch more channels from Tribune Media.
Right.
And they want to make sure that that gets approved by the president. And so they're kissing his ass by just basically regurgitating his talking points.
Right, right, right.
While also keeping it apolitical enough that it's not.
It's just vague enough. That
yeah, just vague enough.
You could argue that, no, that was totally apolitical, actually, that statement. So.
Yeah, but that story and also the caravan story, which just stays in the headlines.
Yes, America's best-selling minivan, Trump is, Dodge Caravan.
Exactly. Trump is keeping the story about the caravan of migrants from Central America coming up through Mexico in the headlines, and now he's claiming he's going to use the military to protect our border. Just fucking, you know, use some Gatling guns.
What the fuck is he going to do for what, 9 people?
Yeah. So it's a perfect news story for him because it has like a potent image. That's like, it's almost like they're
America's being invaded.
Yeah, right. But he's like picturing it like the fucking Mad Max group of cars, like where the immigrants are like, there's a dude that's like, like we're coming to fucking US.
Yeah. Or when you go to the Drudge Report right now, their top story is Trump sending military to border, caravan vows march. And they have a big picture that looks like it could be like a zombie horde. It's the backs of all these people's
it's
heads.
World War Z.
Right. It's World War Z is how they're trying to portray it. And so
they're asylum seekers.
Right. Yeah. And a couple pieces of context. This has happened. We talked about this yesterday, but it's worth emphasizing. This has happened annually for the past couple of years. And when it has happened in the past, it did not become national news because nobody brought it to Trump's attention.
Well, and it's also not that significant amount of people that you can make it big news aside from the sort of statement that they're making as seeking.
Right.
That,
so it's a group.
They're not like carrying banners.
Right. It's a group of about 1,200 people. Most of them Hondurans, but they're mostly planning on stopping short of the U.S. border, and most of them are staying in different Mexican cities, and only about 200 of them are going to continue on to the U.S. border. So we're talking about a group of 200 people who are coming to the U.S. border, which is about the same number that have come in years past, and the border security has had no problem handling them.
Yeah, because these people are there to seek asylum and go through the process of being asylum seekers. They're not just going to be like, show up at the border and be like, all right, we're going to hop the fence right here.
Right, exactly.
Which is the narrative that he's trying to create.
They don't overwhelm the border security. We don't need like military weaponry there. The big issue in the past has been that they have detained these asylum seekers while they evaluated each one of their cases. And they do evaluate the shit out of their cases.
Right.
You know, like I was reading a story from the San Diego Tribune that was saying that it was June, so like months after they had crossed the border, and most of the people were still being detained. And like these are families of people still being detained because they're still determining whether or not they want to grant them asylum. That's something we should be talking about is whether they should be detained the whole time and, you know, how they're being treated. But the issue is not whether or not like we're going to be able to handle them at the border, nor is their plan to like overwhelm the U.S. border defenses.
Right.
But this just kind of brings up a bigger thing that keeps coming up in my mind recently. The debate surrounding news, I feel like, hasn't evolved with the world we now live in. I think we still talk about stories and like whether they're true or false, like the Sinclair thing. They were like, you know, a lot of people have bias and tell these fake stories just based on their bias. And so I've talked before about how 9/11, a big problem with our ability to stop the September 11th attacks and in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks was our ability to basically sort through all the data that we had. Like during the Cold War, intelligence gathering was a big thing. It was just like you got these few scraps from your Russian spies, and then like you put them together into a coherent picture. And suddenly, with the advent of like information technology, we had just fire hoses of information coming at us, and we didn't know how to sort through all that information. And that made it so that we didn't get to the 9/11 attackers before it happened, because we knew about that. Like, that was a story you heard in the aftermath. Like, how did we knew about these people, but we didn't stop them? It was because they were like one of thousands of things we knew about. And I feel like the same thing is happening with how we address news. Like, we have just all this news coming at us now. And the question is not like whether some of it is false or whether some of it is true all the time, but rather like what we choose to focus on. And like this story about the border caravan, you know, people are focusing on this like it is this unprecedented thing. And it's something that's happened every year. And yes, it's happening. And yet, like, they're not making the story up. But by focusing on it, they're misleading you. It's
right.
Basically.
Well, and it's a story that is like, we now have a president where this kind of story is politically advantageous to the president, because he can weaponize it and distort it to evoke like this idea that, like, if it's, you know, other countries, they have refugees arriving on boats, and they're like, oh, people are just crashing the shores and trying to get in our country, or storming the gates of our borders and things like that. And this is like kind of that perfect imagery that he needs. And then he can like pump his own dick up and be like, oh, you know, I told Mexico to break up the caravans, and they did because I told them. And now we'll have the military there to fucking shoot people who are seeking political asylum. Like, what the fuck are you going on about?
Right.
It's very weird. And I think another reason, too, is we also don't actually – we just focus on what is happening and not focusing on what is the root cause, right? So, like, if it's these migrants – why aren't you doing some more stories about Honduras and what it is these people are trying to escape?
Yeah.
Because that might resonate, or that might at least help people understand the world we live in, because everything isn't just what happened or what might happen this season on the New Jersey shore, which I am very much interested in. But I also want to know why people are moving and what the situations they're trying to escape. And I think that's another way our media does betray us, or is a disservice, is by not actually focusing on like, oh, well, why is this happening? Not just it is happening.
Yeah.
And just being like, oh, and that's fucked up.
And also overarching, like, we need to look at statistics. Like, just because the local news reports a crime doesn't mean that there aren't fewer crimes happening. Like, crime is at an all-time low. But the way that people talk on Fox News, and just looking at your local news, you would never suspect that crime is at an all-time low.
No way.
Yeah.
But it's at an all-time low, and it has been going down for years because of, you know, a number of different factors that people never mention. And they don't mention those overall statistical trends because it's more interesting and just more consumable to tell the bite-sized stories of the crimes.
Right.
I feel like we've lost a lot of empathy in this nation.
Right.
And there's no focus on mental health. I think, like, a lot of these, like, news channels, they always, yeah, I agree. Like, it sensationalizes crime, but some people just need, like, mental health services.
Right.
And instead of just being like, this is a crazy man, like, hey, like, wait. Like,
there's someone who the system failed them.
Wait yeah. a second, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah.
Anchorman 2 brings that up, you know? Sensationalizing the news.
I mean,
yeah.
All of this, right, right. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mental health.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, what? Yeah. There was that scene.
Pretty deep.
Oh, I guess,
pretty
yeah. When Kanye movie. Came out.
I mean, everything we're saying is basically summarizing the points made in Anchorman.
Yeah.
2.
People, hey, don't give away the secret to our
hey,
show, right?
What?
But our, our philosophical North Star is Anchorman 2.
Anchorman 2.
Little known fact. But yeah, I think that's another reason, too, that we never really give people context. Like, no. We expect people to already know, or we have to explain to them. Like, you know, especially when you think about how segregation works in this country, a lot of people just go, oh, like an unarmed black person was shot or
right.
whatever. And not many people understand how, through like legal segregation, through like housing initiatives
yes.
in this country.
And the highways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We were redlining. We were making sure. And again, we talked about this yesterday, but redlining was the practice of identifying neighborhoods that were undesirable, or where mm-hmm. people would not get loans and things. It basically, essentially, to just say keep black people in these sections, or
yeah.
keep minorities in these neighborhoods. And if they try and get out, just deny them a loan or give it at such a rate that it's not really, it's an untenable situation for them.
Like, and districting, all
yeah,
of that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And what people don't realize is that, like, especially like as a lot of black people migrated to the north out of the south in the early 20th century for, like, you know, industrial centers, like my grandparents did, they moved to Chicago from the south.
Chicago's the Dan Ryan.
Right.
Holy shit.
And in those neighborhoods, the way they were dealing with this influx of people of color was, you know, they just created these very distinct neighborhoods that they segregated people. And the segregation is much more intense. Like, you'd think, oh, in the South, it must be crazy. No, it's actually in, like, the Northeast and shit. And in the Midwest, that's where it's the most pronounced.
This American Life did a undercover story where they sent people.
They're always going undercover.
They sent people to inquire about apartments in New York City.
Right.
And it was a white couple and then a black couple. And they would go, and the black couple had better credit, better all the things that the landlord was supposed to be looking for. And they would be turned away, and the white couple would be shown the apartment and basically courted to go there. And so that's the way that these things are enforced. It's like sort of a soft form of segregation where or like an invisible form of segregation. It's not soft in the sense that it's easy to get around.
Well, and people don't realize, they're like, oh, well, those people are just poor and that's why they live there. It's like, no, that area is designed to keep people in there and not coming into other areas, because whether it's like blockbusting practices where, like, black people would begin to move into white places and those realtors would hire black people to create this illusion of, like, a black takeover. And like being like, hey, you probably want, like, to a white family, like, hey, you probably want to sell your home.
Right.
And then jack up the price for a black family to buy that home. Also, like, you also think about how schools and services get funded. A lot of it's from property taxes,
yes,
too. So if you're in the hood, there's not a lot of tax revenue being generated. So that means the schools are underfunded. That means the schools get more segregated. And again, we just want to act like it's all these other things. Again, I think a lot of the times when we present stories, people don't fully understand the context of even how we get to the situation. And, like, one other point I want to bring up is that, like, one theory that is going around is that, obviously, not, it's like a theory, but, you know, a lot of people are sort of like, why does, you know, black-white segregation have any kind of bearing or influence on fatal police shootings? What's that segregated black communities are just more heavily policed than others.
Right.
And in a study from 2013 showed that in Milwaukee, and Wisconsin has the highest, like racism racial index. It's a state racism index where it basically takes – it looks at things like residential segregation, disparities in educational attainment, employment status, economic status, incarceration status, and they score each of these. Wisconsin tops the list for all of the when they factor all these things in. And when they looked at Milwaukee specifically, the state's largest city, half of black men between the ages of 30 and 40 have been in jail at some point in their lives, and the city's zip code 53206 is 95% black and has the highest incarceration rate, like, I think, in any county there. So basically what happens is the more segregated a place becomes, you're only underlining people's biases that are fed by the news, where if you think, oh, you're only showing news about people of color or, like, the violence being bad in, like, in these neighborhoods, then immediately the police are going to be like, oh, well, now I'm in a black neighborhood. I'm not in, oh, I deal with regular people who might not have to get shot. I'm immediately on the defense because now I'm in this crazy thing. And, like, there's all these subtle factors all play into sort of how we relate to the world. And, yeah, I think it's a very important thing for people to kind of realize all of these stories have much more complex context.
I feel like that's really, like, I lived in Chicago for about 10 years before I moved out here. Mm-hmm. And, like, Rahm Emanuel is just systematically shutting down schools, like, in impoverished neighborhoods. And then I just pulled it up, like, Chicago closes more schools in black neighborhoods. Chicago students add budget cuts. It's all of this stuff. Like, and then there are these, like, some of my friends were teachers, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they were telling me that Rahm had this, like, initiative of, like, look, we're building new schools and new charter schools. But these schools were empty because he was adding them in neighborhoods that didn't need them or, like, prominent neighborhoods, where, like, neighborhoods on, like, the west side or even the south side and some up in the north, like in uptown where you really needed it, they weren't getting them.
Right.
And he was just shutting them down.
Yeah, I mean, and in Chicago, like, a story that I hadn't really connected to the current spate of violence and murder was that they shut the Cabrini Green housing project down, like, a number of years ago. And that was a high crime area, but they basically turned it into high income living area and didn't give all the poor people who had lived there before a place to go. So, like, that created just a horrible
displaced people, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know. These are we're kind of all over the map, but I do just want to...
We're talking about Jeff Bezos, if you're just listening in. Jeff Bezos is a problem.
Jeff Bezos, hot. H-A-W-T.
He started this whole thing.
But I do think, you know, it's important to keep in mind that our role as news consumers is not just to look at individual stories and determine, you know, whether they're true or not, but to actually find the context. And, you know, the redlining story is a story that I just learned about on that This American Life episode like 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And I couldn't fucking believe that. I couldn't fucking believe that I hadn't been told that. That's like the most important story of the 20th century when it comes to like how American life is lived in the current world. And it puts all these different things in perspective, but it's not talked about.
It's not talked about, yeah.
But I think we're now coming into a world where we have access to all this different information, and you know, this new generation has the ability to, you know, find those important stories and tell those important stories. I've seen a lot of people, a lot of Zeitgangers out there doing the good work and telling people about the British coal gas study, in the context of the gun conversation. And you know, redlining is another one of those stories that is. It's like a keystone. It's one of
those
things.
We got to get Nicole Hannah-Jones on this show.
Right, we really do.
But Nicole.
She's amazing. Yeah. Again, I think we definitely do people a disservice, not like we as a show, but just at the people, any like journalists, by not at least telling people why. Like, sure, there's a caravan, right? But also explain to people why there's this caravan. Like,
to celebrate.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly right. They're just big fans of Dodge. It's actually being paid for by Chrysler. Yeah, check out this caravan, huh?
Yeah, but they're running from something. They need help from something.
And it's weird because, again, you know, there was like this Netflix show we brought up called Go Back to Where You Came From. It's like an Australian reality show where a lot of like sort of anti-immigrant xenophobic people had to actually understand where the refugees were coming from and what they were escaping. And many people, it started to click for them because, you know, when you're that in proximity of truth, like you can't deny that. Right. And then you instantly like, oh shit, okay, I get it.
There were also like stories about when ICE was coming into town, like especially like small Texas towns, like it was like a meat manufacturing town, like that's like a slaughterhouse town. Mm-hmm. And people they had worked with for years, decades, all of a sudden gone. And then the like town locals were like, oh my God, where did this person go?
Right, right.
He was deported. No, they're only supposed to do the bad guys. And not realizing like this is going to affect everything and people you know and people you care about.
Right.
But it's like that context of like, we're keeping the wall up to keep the bad ones out.
Well, it's easy to say that in middle America where you probably don't have much interaction with people like immigrants or have firsthand experience with the outside world or just, you know.
My community was very insular. It was like the first time I had Thai food was when I moved to Chicago. I had no idea what it was.
And you thought it was shitty Chinese food.
I was like, what are these noodles?
Yeah, you're like, these noodles are weird looking.
But it was like everybody was like Christian. All Christian. So like for a very long time I was like ignorant on like Judaism and like understand like some of my friends were like, oh, it's like this is a very Jewish holiday, and I was like, what does that mean, you know?
What?
You mean you don't believe in Jesus Christ?
Hey look how small that fella's hat is.
Yeah. Hey, come here, you're gonna want to see this, mom and dad. They wear these little things.
Ain't no brim on there.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. We wanted to finally cover the story of one of the good people teaching our children, doing the Lord's work down in Florida. Her name is
Diana Volatich.
And she is a social studies teacher at Crystal River Middle School in Florida. And she was known online as Tiana Dalachov, which is the pseudonymous host of a white supremacist podcast called Unapologetic, where she talked some crazy shit about race science and just
everything, anti-Semitism,
just all the bad stuff.
All there. The crazy thing was, I think HuffPo outed her like March 8th, and her defense was, all my comments that were, quote, political satire and exaggeration, and the persona was a, quote, unquote, hobby. I'm a part-time racist. Right. You know, I'm a hobbyist racist.
I go to Hobby Lobby, right. which actually is the lobby store of racists.
For racists, yeah, exactly. And I work there. And she was also bragging, like, on her show, like, she was like, you know, I'm a teacher, and I actually inject all this shit into my teachings and things like that.
They just don't know it.
Yeah, they just don't fucking realize.
That frequency.
And so basically, you know, that did not sort of rub parents, the school district, the right way. And she only finally today resigned after much pressure. So we will see what happens. But it's crazy. Like, just to give you an example, like the kind of shit that they were talking about on her show. There was like one episode where there's a guy on who's like, I don't like racists either. Even though probably in the most technical sense of the word, you could probably say I'm racist because I do believe that some races of people are inferior and superior in certain ways. I would never say black people are, you know, crap people. They're inferior at everything, but there are certain things certain races can do better. Asians are way better at math in the aggregate than white people, and white people build cultures better than Asian people or black people, and we can view it all throughout history. So that's what her guest says. And then as host, she responds with, I think I would align myself similarly to your sentiment there. Like, I would pretty much say, yeah, okay, if believing that certain races specialize in certain things makes me racist, then I guess that's what I am, because I do share your sentiment there. Everything you've said, like, meshes perfectly with what, you know, I'm kind of, like, thinking on the inside here. So, yes, that was a woman teaching the children.
Social studies.
Social fucking studies.
Wow,
yes.
That is double messed up. She did say that as an adult, my decisions are my own. My family has nothing whatsoever to do with my social media accounts or my podcast. Okay, leave my family out of it. But what's lurking in that family's closet? You know what I mean?
Right.
A hood. from them, I humbly ask for forgiveness, as it was never my intention to cause them grief while engaging in a hobby on my personal time.
I mean, the kind of her tweets that she deleted were like, white privilege? Prove to me that it exists.
Oh, my God.
Show me statistics that prove whites benefit
economically.
The fact
that it took you this long to get fired is proof
that
it exists.
Yeah,
well, that's because she was using her fake-ass, you know, Twitter name.
Right.
And then was even, like, this is just to underline her shittiness as a teacher. She says, this is a tweet that was deleted. You know, America's education system is designed to enable victimization when teachers are forced to learn about institutional racism and prove it's real when it isn't. I literally feel brain cells dying as I read this bullshit. Hashtag Sunday morning. Not the No Doubt song. So, yeah. Cool.
She definitely was listening to that. Sunday morning. Go to church.
Yeah, so she's out of here. So
and get out.
And for some reason, when I was picturing this happening in my mind, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting her to look
so hot.
Like the exact blend of all of my teachers growing up. And
yeah.
She looks exactly
if you look
like,
at this photo, you will see elements of like other teachers.
Oh,
that
yeah,
you
for
had.
Sure.
That
100%.
Is my teacher. Yeah. So
looks
yeah.
Looks like a computer
She
algorithm.
Has like nice teacher eyes too.
Yeah.
Damn.
She just looks
they
like
always
a kind
they
social
always
studies
do.
Teacher.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Well.
Never trust a teacher with a kind smile.
Yeah.
Or a loving touch. Excuse me.
The lyrics to Poison. I don't know. Kids, keep an eye on your teachers,
yeah,
I guess.
Sorry to throw that on to you, kids. Not only are you responsible for your own safety in school, please monitor the racist behavior of your
Make
teachers.
Make sure they're not intentionally injecting racist ideals into your social studies
lessons.
Listen
to Pink Floyd, you know?
Yeah.
Right. That's all the education you need.
That's all you need, bro. I didn't go to college, bro. It's got the wall.
I just got the Wu-Tang double album.
Roger Waters.
Ever, it's been lovely having you here. Where can people find out more about you and find you?
Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Not possible without you.
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I normally post like show stuff or my website, evermainard.com. But it's M-A-I-N-A-R-D.
Ooh.
People
Classy.
Think it's with a Y.
Yeah.
It's not. And my name is spelled like the word because it is the word.
Yeah.
Ever.
But yeah, like Instagram, Twitter.
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah. And Miles, before I get to you and your social media, guys, we have just changed categories that we're on Apple Podcasts for reasons we're not clear on, but we went from comedy to news and politics. So I guess Apple Podcasts listen, we're like, not funny. So we are now in news and politics, and we could use your ratings, your rates and reviews. So if you like the show, please go rate and review us. We Would greatly appreciate that. And Miles, where can people find you online?
Oh, me, little old me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Cool.
And before we get to my social media, another announcement. So I wanted to just ask you guys, we're still trying to get to the bottom of the technical issue with the episode skipping forward and backward 10 seconds. We have heard from a lot of you. We're still working with our publisher. They thought they had fixed it, but we're still hearing from you guys. So please, every time you tweet at us, at Daily Zeitgeist, and let us know about the problem and give us, you know, what you're listening to it on, what application, what phone, and which episode and about where it happened, we get closer to solving this annoying issue. Just a shout out to Priyanka Das at Priyanka Das on Twitter. She tweeted Apple Podcast app, iPhone X, the 329 episodes, skip back 10 seconds toward the middle and again toward the end of the episode. Perfect, succinct. That is exactly what we're looking for. Every time we get one of those, we get closer to solving it. And you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the stories that contain the information that we talked about today. That's going to do it for today. Miles, do you have a song for us?
I do. Today, let's play Ivy Soul. She is like a really dope artist, MC, singer of this track. It's called All Mine. You know, I feel good listening to it. And I feel like you guys will too. So bump that on your commute or whatever it is you consume the show. And bless you all.
We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Look at the chip in my tooth. I was 12 when I first caught a fist. Now I throw hands in the booth to tell you the truth. A little cash wouldn't be the worst thing. So if you would, just loosen up them purse strings. I'm in pursuit of happiness, clapping tracks with the truth. All I see is whackness, the packaging has to be proof. A catalyst with hella aptitude for visual aesthetic, captivating masses, rhyme schemes chock full of message. I ain't cocky, I heard confidence is key. Busting doors up off the hinges with the weight of my speech. Just wait and you'll see. No second coming of Lauren. I got bigger hills to climb. No disrespect, but it's my time, yeah. They keep telling me I'm timeless. Steady calling me your highness. Because it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, yeah, it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine. Mama asked me why I'm stressing. She said, baby, get your blessing. Because it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, yeah, it's mine, it's all mine. Turn up, turn up, turn up, we so lit, 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 lit. Shawnee leaning like the syrup, get your fit, fix. Mr. Purpose with the furnace, give me that beat below my sternum. Worship service, save the sermon, that's my shit. That's a hit, kicking dust up. Cause I heard Ivy Soul be the spontaneous combustor. Microphone trucker, only bars when they discuss her. Come straight for your head, just might concuss ya. So come correct or get your luck up, you numb nut. Word around town is real rap is on the way. So forget what you was looking for tomorrow. Cause today we dodge the devil for 24. Hoping we see many more. Handed beats the first 48. Feeling great, They keep telling me I'm timeless. Steady calling me your highness. Cause it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, yeah, it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine. Mama asked me why I'm stressing. She said, baby, get your blessing. Cause it's mine, it's all mine, it's all mine, yeah, it's mine, it's all mine. See, I was in the shy, I was feeling quite the opposite. Sipping on a vibe like water for chocolate. Approximate release date looming, heart rate booming, trying to figure
best for your caucus. I don't need votes or elections. I'm a descendant of rockets. Y'all rappers talk us to death. Nary a penny to show. Barely a song to your name. And yet you flex like a pro. I ain't got press at the moment, but yes, my presence, it glows. Applying pressure to the wounds that I deliver my foes. Y'all should consider dying slow. Wouldn't wanna miss the come up. Her winter be the season for preparing for the summer. What a shame, what a bummer. You thought she was next. You got less drive than a Hummer. On cinder blocks, I suspect. My 10 toes tap 10 poles. None can match but I. So when you ask me for the time, I can only reply that it's mine. It's all mine. It's all mine. Yeah, it's mine. It's all mine.